W. Kamau Bell.
Yeah! Yeah! Give it up for Antique Naked Soul! Give it up for the beautiful people in this room right now, yourselves! Give it up for freedom as long as it lasts! And give it up for the Warriors! Welcome to Kamau right now on KALW. We're broadcasting live from the New Parish in beautiful downtown Oakland! Again, that was our band, Antique Naked Soul, back again. And this show tonight is all about what is happening right now. We have some very special guests on the show to help us talk about because so much is going on. Everything is happening at once. We'll get into it. We have very special guests. I'll let you know who they are. We have acclaimed poet, author, and activist, Aya De Leon. Give it up. The award-winning radio and podcast producer, Sam Greenspan. Let Sam hear you. Sam is a friend of mine, but I should just say, Sam, full disclosure, we haven't had a white guy in a long time. We've had some issues, so no pressure. Hashtag all the pressure. We also have the host of the Brilliant Funny Podcast and column, Dear Prudence. Give it up for Mallory Ortberg. Give it up for Mallory Ortberg. And later on, we're going to have a new segment. We're going to keep it real and talk to journalist and author Pendarvis Harshaw to talk about his new book, OG Told Me. That's right, yes. Also, here on the show, we want to hear you from you in the audience, from you on the radio listening about what's going on in your world, what you think about the show. Tweet us your thoughts, questions, concerns to at Kamau right now, or use the hashtag Kamau now, KAMAUNOW. Why do I have to read my name every time? If you're listening on the radio and you hear voices, those aren't just the voices in your head. It's our social media desk of Becca Hoekstra and Maya Janelle. Get up for those two over there, right there, to my right, or your left, or just in your ear if you're listening on the radio. And they'll report their Twitter findings and all the other findings of what's going on through the show. Man, so much is happening. First of all, again, shout out to the Warriors for, yes, the most boring NBA victory of all time. It's how I used to do it when I was a kid. I'm going to put all the players on the best team when I play video games, and it'll be fun to watch, but the victory will never be in dispute. I'm happy for the Warriors. It's good. It's good to see beautiful people in Oakland hanging out, having a good time. That's good to see people walking down the streets. I have to admit, though, I did have moments because I got here a little early, and people are outside hanging out, and I see people, and you see some people like, oh, is this who we're letting being Warriors fans now? You know what I mean? Like, feels like my Warriors fandom's been gentrified a little bit. That's all I'm saying. Oh, are you a Warriors fan now? Feels like you're a new San Francisco Warriors fan who's over here early before the team moves on. But I'm happy for the Warriors. I'm actually wearing my Oakland Warriors championship t-shirt, property of Oaklandish. Give it up for Oaklandish. And this show, we talk about a lot of the hard things going on in the world. We'll talk about some of that tonight. But there's one thing. There's a lot of good things happening right now in the East Bay. There's a lot of, I work in showbiz sometimes. And there's a couple showbiz things going. Have you guys ever heard of a guy named David Diggs? Ever heard of him, everybody? Yeah. He's in town right now shooting a movie. That's good. We're doing some town business. And this I also heard today. My friend, who's also been on Kamau right now, from the legendary group The Coup, Boots Riley, is filming his first movie here in Oakland, everybody. Sorry to bother you. So, yeah, there's a lot of bad things happening, people on this side of the room, but there's good things happening. Like, this was kind of a little good thing that I feel like didn't get enough play. Mike Pence hired his own lawyer today. That's pretty cool. Take me down in a blaze of glory. Hashtag private school Negro. All right. And some of the news just doesn't make any sense. I have to admit that I'm just confused by, like I turned on, North Korea was in the news twice today. Once because they have an American who's in a coma that they gave back to us. I was like, I don't even know how to, what, huh? I mean, I hope he's okay, but I just didn't understand what that was. And then the second thing, Dennis Rodman going to North Korea to take them a copy. Apparently he took them a mermaid puzzle. What are you doing, Dennis Rodman? He was flown there by a Bitcoin pot operator, some weird thing. And he also gave them a copy of Donald Trump's Art of the Deal. All right, Dennis. Can't you just be irrelevant, Dennis, please? People live too long in the 21st century. I was a Bulls fan in the 90s. I love Dennis Rodman, but here's how crazy it is for Dennis Rodman to go to North Korea and give them a copy of Art of the Deal. All the news media said he gave it to Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea. He didn't. Kim Jong-un sent out somebody else. If you look at the pictures, he sent out one of his ministers like, no, you get it. I want to talk to Dennis Rodman. Even he thinks Dennis Rodman's gone too far. Kim Jong-un, who always bowls the 300s, like, nah, this dude's crazy. I can't be there. That's a bad look for me to get a picture with Dennis Rodman. And I'm a dictator. Another good thing happening today, this is in my personal life. So my daughter, oldest daughter, Sammy, she finished her kindergarten year. She's officially able to, yes. I won't cry. They grow up too slowly. People say the years go fast. I look at my daughter like, why aren't you 17? Really? You're 6? That's it? Yeah, people are like, it goes so fast. Not yet, it doesn't. I mean, I'm happy that, but I feel like you seem like you should be older. Any other parents feel that way? All that parent talk about, it goes so fast. No, it doesn't. Maybe the 20s go by fast, but before 10 is forever. But this, so my wife wanted to do something special for Sammy for finishing kindergarten, and also she wanted to do something she wanted to do. So this morning, my wife woke Sammy up at like 6 in the morning, just didn't tell her what she was doing, put her on a plane, took her on a plane. They flew to Southern California and just walked Sammy into Disneyland! Yes, we are the best parents in the history of mankind. I'm just trying to make my daughter's life so good that if they're in therapy when they're adults, it's on them. It's like what they, you know what I mean? I don't know what you did. We took you to Disneyland when you were 6 for no reason. So we nailed it. We did all our part. I don't know what you did. And so there's a lot to talk about right now. We're going to talk about a lot of the things. There's a lot of up and down stuff happening right now. But it wouldn't be this show if we didn't have the conversation we're about to have. A lot of you know the news stories yesterday that happened. In San Francisco, a gunman killed 3 people and himself at a UPS facility. He had been a UPS driver since 1999, and he killed 3 other UPS drivers. And then also on Wednesday morning, a lone gunman opened fire at a Republican congressional baseball team, which I didn't know was a thing, in a Virginia suburb of D.C. 5 people were shot, including Steve Scalise, the majority whip of the House of Republicans. And Paul Ryan yesterday said about the shooting, specifically about the congressional shooting, if one of us is shot, if you come for one of us, you come for all of us. And the thing I thought was so interesting about that is, like, you're literally talking about Congress, and that's it. You're not talking about Americans. Like, I can go through all the names, we can talk about all the times when Americans have been the victims of gun violence, but Congress doesn't pay attention until Congress gets shot? That doesn't make sense to me. So tonight, in the spirit of this show, we're going to bring somebody on here to talk about that issue. I'm going to bring up Allison Anderman. Allison is the managing attorney for the Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence. One of her primary focuses is on partnering with cities, counties, and counties to improve local gun laws. Please welcome to the stage Allison Anderman, everybody. Just full disclosure, audience, before the show, Allison said, and I'm going to bum everybody out. But that's kind of where we're at in America. We're already bummed out, yes. We'll talk. We'll hand out cookies later, I guess. I don't know. But Allison, just first of all, talk about your thoughts about where we are in America right now, or specifically those two stories yesterday.
Yeah, and thanks so much for taking a few moments to talk about this tonight. What happened is terrible. It's tragic. It's always terrible, and it's always tragic. We need to keep the focus, however, on the fact that not all shootings in America are mass shootings. Even though the organization that I work for was founded because of a massacre at 101 California in 1993, which many of you are probably familiar with, and my sister organization, which we recently merged with, was founded by Gabby Giffords, who was a congresswoman who was shot in a mass shooting. And those are important and tragic events. But first of all, most mass shootings are domestic violence related, and one in four of those deaths are children. And over 300 people a day in the United States are shot, and it disproportionately affects people of color. So we need to keep our eye on the real issues. I mean, these are all real issues, but we need to remain vigilant every day. And remember that this is happening every single day in our country, not only when members of Congress are shot and not only when there's a mass shooting that gets a lot of media attention.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. I mean, so the work you do, it's got to be pretty discouraging because these stories, like you say, you're seeing statistics that the rest of us don't see that aren't in the major news. But then when you see something like yesterday and you see the way, like, Paul Ryan in Congress, suddenly they act like, oh, wait, we're getting shot? This is suddenly important. Suddenly, we need to talk about this.
Right, right. And calls for unity and calls for prayers are important, and we need to come together and mourn and acknowledge what happened. But we also need action. And on the same day that the shooting occurred, Congress had a hearing scheduled on a bill that would deregulate silencers. Can you imagine what an active shooter situation would be like if the shooter was using a silencer? And the same Congress, which is in the stranglehold of the gun lobby, they are also trying to get concealed carry permits to be like driver's licenses. So the states that have the weakest laws that require no training or virtually no checks to get a concealed carry permit would be allowed to come to California, where we have really robust laws and people could carry hidden concealed guns. And the gun lobby's ultimate aim is to take to eliminate concealed carry permits altogether. And I mean, again, imagine what it would be like in a situation where altercations turn deadly because people are armed. We've seen that with Trayvon Martin in Florida and Jordan Davis. And the answer is not more guns. More guns do not make us safer. They actually expose us to more gun violence.
Whew. You weren't kidding, Allison. I'm starting to get bummed out. but I appreciate the information because I feel like we don't talk about this. I mean, I think a lot of us do talk about this in this room. I know this room is totally hashtag woke. I look at you. I can see that. But we don't have this discussion out loud in front of everybody enough. And so I appreciate you leading this discussion. So I'm always at the place now, what can we do? What happens next? What can we, because if we want to try to take advantage of this moment, like we haven't, like as a country, we haven't taken advantage of like Sandy Hook or Trayvon Martin or John Crawford or any number of other people that could talk, Alex Nieto, like, you know, how can we take advantage of this moment?
Well, there are actually hopeful moments in my work and in my day-to-day. And believe it or not, even though there wasn't a lot of action or any action at the federal level after Sandy Hook, there was tremendous action at the state level. And states passed an unprecedented number of laws to evidence-based laws to reduce gun violence. And we are...
Preston, was that like two?
No.
Tried to put a joke in there, everybody. Didn't work out too well. Just trying to keep it moving. Sorry about that. We'll delete that from the podcast.
No, I think actually we're up to close to 200 laws.
There we go. Yes.
And some of them were huge sweeping laws that, you know, it was one bill that did a number of things, but we're working diligently to enact these laws. And we're also working with people like Devon Bogan in the city of Richmond, who is working on community-based intervention strategies to try to address urban gun violence issues in a non-legislative, non-legal way. And so we're doing a lot of great work, and believe it or not, it's actually having an impact.
Well, what can people who are listening to this show right now, people in this room and also on the radio, what would you say they should do? What should they do after they stop listening to this show, because they want to finish listening to the show? What should they do? What's the next action they take to help change the laws in this country, or change the reality of this country?
Just really stay vigilant. Sign up for the many, many groups that work on this issue. My organization, Americans for Responsible Solutions, Moms Demand Action. There are a lot of groups out here. There are state-based groups. There are even local groups in your communities, like Youth Alive, that are working on community-based intervention programs. Just get involved and pay attention. And then when there are bills, I've done a lot of work in Oakland on gun laws. And when there are bills, you can come to city council meetings and speak in support or in opposition if you don't agree, but just make your voice be heard, vote, and get engaged.
So as always, the answer is show up.
As always.
Thank you, Allison Anderman. Give it up to Allison Anderman. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Allison Anderman, we will send out on Twitter, we will send out the information and other organizations that we should all connect with, because this is horrible. Well, now moving on back to the fun part of the show. Maybe. Who knows? I haven't checked my phone in 10 seconds. Who knows what just happened to this country? But tonight we've got some amazing guests to help us talk about what's going on in the world right now. My first guest, I'm honored to have her here, directs the Poetry for the People program in the African American Studies Department at UC Berkeley. Her first novel, Uptown Thief, won an Independent Publishers Award in 2016. Her latest novel, The Boss, was just released 2 weeks ago. Please welcome to the stage, Aya De Leon, everybody. Yes, please sit. Make yourself comfortable. You can't stand up with all those accomplishments. You got to relax. My next guest is a friend of mine, an award-winning radio producer. He's most known for his work with the Architecture and Design podcast. Usually it's that. A lot of times it's not that, but I still love it. 99% Invisible, which is based right here in beautiful downtown Oakland. Earlier this year, he left 99% Invisible, and he's going to talk to us about what's going on. Please welcome Sam Greenspan, everybody. Sam Greenspan. My last guest is the author of Text from Jane Eyre. She's co-creator of The Toast. She also writes the Dear Prudence column at Slate, which is also an amazing podcast I've been lucky enough to be on. Her second book, The Mary Spencer, will be released in early 2018. Please welcome back Mallory Ortberg, everybody. Also, she's had a haircut since I last saw her. Everybody on the radio, appreciate her haircut. Yeah, thank you for coming, everybody.
You only have one white man on the show, but you do have two white men's haircuts, so.
I'll grow mine out. Yes. I'll grow mine out. I'll cede it to you.
I literally went to the barber and was like, you know that haircut I think looks bad on most white men? Give it to me. just full David Beckham.
Let me see if a woman can work that haircut into shape. How recent is this haircut?
Yesterday.
Ah, and it's quite a dramatic. Was there a thing? Did you have some sort of waiting to exhale moment or something? Or shoot. Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's go with that. Yeah, let's go with that. I like it.
Okay, good. So we'll go with that. So thank you for joining us tonight. There's a lot going on in the world. Congratulations on your book.
Thank you.
Yeah, how's that going? How's that book thing going?
It's good. You know, I've written two books in less than a year, and I have to say I'm tired, but I'm excited about it.
Hashtag Black Women at Work, everybody. I wrote a book. I'll never do that again. And it's available for sale after the show tonight, everybody.
Yup.
So what are you thinking about right now?
Well, one of the things I'm thinking about is something that I wrote about in the book, which is labor. You know, there's been a lot of talk since the election about the working class and working people. And, you know, one of the things going on in the book is there's a labor fight. It's a group of strippers in New York who are trying to unionize. And, you know, as usual in the sex industry, it's the only industry where women get paid more than men. And then there are a lot of shady men trying to take that money back, particularly in strip clubs. And so not only are there shady bosses, but the Ukrainian mob is involved, you know, trying to get the money. And since it is a feminist heist novel, you know.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You just ran past that? Like, that's not a big deal. A feminist heist novel.
I write feminist heist novels. So,
I
hate
that genre.
Yeah, bam.
Are they heisting feminism?
No, they've already got the feminism. They're heisting the money. Yeah, so, you know, basically, what I've been writing are these novels that are kind of Trojan horses. You know, it's like these radical politics, radical wealth redistribution, women's health care, labor organizing, but sort of wrapped up in a sexy beach read for the masses. You know, so that's what I've been doing. And it's fun.
Can I just get a sexy beach read for the masses, like... and a tattoo or something.
Yeah, I might need to do that. And so, but I've been thinking about labor, and I've been thinking particularly about, there's been all this talk since the election of like, oh no, like what happened? You know, progressive people need to go listen to kind of what racist and sexist working class white guys have to say. And you know what?
First of all, that's my television show, so I don't appreciate that. That's what I do. This Sunday, CNN, on Appalachia.
Exactly. And my point is, it's already being done. Handled, like Olivia Pope says, it's handled. But the thing that I want to add to that I think that's really critical is it's, to me, when we think about working people, it's also about developing policies that meet the needs of working people of all colors as the way forward, so that it's not just about the emotional labor of listening to people around their racist and sexist views. So that's what I've been thinking about.
That's a lot to think about. So, Sam, you recently left 99% Invisible.
Yeah, I have a very different take on the labor issue. It's just, I quit my job. That's my stance on labor.
Okay. So what are you up to now?
Well, I was at 99% Invisible for about 5 years, 5.5 years all told. And
5 years in the 21st century is like a factory job. I should be clear about that. That's like somebody in the 1950s working 35 years.
Yeah, exactly. It's in dog years. And I left to start my own show.
Oh, so what is this show?
The show is called Bellwether, and it is speculative journalism telling true stories from the present reported into the near future.
Oh, okay.
And this is a Kamau exclusive, by the way.
We're breaking news! Where's my Chiron at the bottom that says breaking news? We're breaking news. Well, congratulations, man.
Thank you.
So what attracted you to this work?
I mean, living in a black box in which the present's just totally unknowable. It seemed like a lot of people were really trying to speculate. Like, well, if this happens, then what? And if this happens, then what? And at the same time, I was in my work with this design show, 99% Invisible, learning about like design fiction as a thing, and I thought it was a thing that I was going to cover, but I couldn't figure out how to do that. And then I was like, well, what if I just take this idea of design fiction, which is just sort of like it's a type of like projection or a type of like just what ifs, usually around product design, but putting that for the news and saying what would, like, because the future is actually quite reportable. And the joke that I've sort of been telling is that in my, you know, corner of journalism in the radio world, every story ends at about 5/6 of the way through, they go, for now, no. For NPR News.
Yes,
and
yes.
And so I want to take the for now and put it like in the beginning or the middle of the story.
Nice.
And
I
see
like
what
that.
Happens
like
after
that.
That.
So when is this already out? Is this
No, it is not out. I have a pilot in development.
It's in the future, basically.
It's in the future. You know, I was gonna call it Sam Wright Soon.
But you thought you'd take my last name instead, Bellwether. Is that what you thought?
Bellwether is the show. That's right.
But it'll be available soon, so we should keep our eyes open.
Hopefully in the fall. I got to get a bunch of them ready to go, because as you know with your podcast empire, once the machine starts running, you don't want to turn it off. So I want to make sure I have a lot of stuff to be able
That's
to
for sure. Rest
give
in peace
to the people.
Denzel Washington's the greatest actor of all time, period. All right. So Mallory, what's on your mind?
So I've been thinking a lot about the fact that I believe that Brendan Fraser was the Channing Tatum of the 1990s. And none of us appreciated him.
I'm so happy you're here. This show started out in such a dark place.
None of us appreciated him. Like, he was a human Labrador retriever, just like Channing Tatum, and he was sent here by God himself
to just take off his shirt and bring people joy. That's it. Like, just this, like, docile, gentle, exploratory, shirtless masculinity that involves wearing a lot of leather wrist cuffs. And I've been thinking about this because I wanted to go see Wonder Woman this week, but what I really wanted to do was go see the Tom Cruise remake of The Mummy, which I felt guilty about. But what I really, really wanted to do was rewatch the Brendan Fraser version of The Mummy from 1999. So I did three times in 2 days. And I was just like, oh, we didn't deserve him. And we didn't tell him. You know how people are like, oh, if you're dying, tell your loved ones you appreciate them? Like, everyone who's here tonight, tell Brendan Fraser how much he means to you. Like, afterwards, I was sitting in my room, and I was looking at how disgusting my room is, and I was like, why aren't I getting out of bed and cleaning it? Like, why don't I have the energy to be a person? And I thought, it's because I don't look like Brendan Fraser circa 1997, and I'm not going to do anything until conditions improve.
WWBFD.
What
would Brendan Fraser do?
All he wanted to do was give. And what did we give him? Well, a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, let's be clear. I think some people here are like, totally confused. He's not dead, right? He's just...
He's still alive.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. We have Becca has looked up. Our social media desk has looked up.
In my defense, his last movie was an animated movie about squirrels putting on a heist with Will Arnett called The Nut Job. So, like, he's not...
Creatively, he's not in a good place.
He's not alive.
But when The Rock is president, he'll
Mallory
be
Mallory Ortberg, everybody. If you just tuned in, I'm Debbie Kamau Bell. I've been speaking with Mallory Ortberg, Sam Greenspan, and Aya De Leon. This is Kamau right now on KALW, live from the new parish in Oakland. Antique Naked Soul! I should also just say, I promoted my book. For those people who are at the show, your book is Aya's book is also available for sale here. Are there anybody else selling anything at the counter over there?
I brought some candy bars.
Okay, brought some candy, Sam's candies. But yeah, so we can buy those books after the show. So first of all, full disclosure, when we set up the show, we get them to tell us what their right now is. And so I get to sort of get a sense of what's going to happen. And when Mallory's came across, I was like, yes, I get it. Brendan Fraser, let's get in there. I feel like I want to follow up because we had to go to the break. I click on a lot of those articles at the bottom of articles that aren't really articles.
I think those are called fake news, Kamau.
Everything from Zergnet.
Zergnet. I'm on Zergnet a lot.
I'm on Zergnet
a lot. Got to deal with a lot of pop-up windows. But when you get to the actual thing, it's... And there was one about, there was some like, the reason why this actor hasn't worked in 15 years will blow your mind. And it was about Brendan Fraser. And I was like, click.
Because we didn't deserve him.
It didn't say that. It said hair plugs is actually what it said.
Really?
Yeah, it was all about male pattern baldness, which I felt bad about. That of everything we've talked about, that bums you guys out is... Brendan Fraser, he's lost his hair!
I think we've just all realized how much we've lost. Like, he should just be in a field somewhere running free, eating carrots. I think he's a horse.
Yeah, I feel like...
Like a beautiful, special horse.
I don't know.
Does no one else feel that way sometimes about famous men?
We've fallen all the way down to the Brendan... Some woman is like, nope, I don't feel that way. As if we needed confirmation. But we are talking about commercial art. We talk about The Mummy and things like that. You mentioned Wonder Woman. I have a question right now as a person who works in commercial art, not that effectively all the time. But my question is, like, there's been a lot of things that happened recently with, like, I guess I saw the trailer for The Black Panther.
Yes. My tweet about that was just squeeze.
I thought I'd get more in Oakland for the trailer for The Black Panther. Is that... It is directed by Ryan Coogler, who's from Oakland, so I don't know if we... Gentrification. Anyway, so I saw the trailer, and of course, and Mike and Way on this, Black Twitter went crazy for the trailer for The Black Panther. And one person, okay, representing Black Twitter, representing... But you just said, I'm going to ride the whole time. I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you for getting my back. I need that. Thank you so much. So, but my question is, I suddenly saw all these people going crazy, and it's just for the teaser trailer. It's like a minute long, maybe 2 minutes long. And I was just like, suddenly felt scared for Ryan. Like, his people need this movie to change their life. You know, and it's the first, like, superhero movie. That's not the first one directed by a black person, because Fantastic Four was years ago, but it's the first one that actually, it feels like it's going to address blackness. The Fantastic Four did not really do a good job of that. if my memory serves. The Thing is an allegory for being black. I'm just covered in rocks and nobody likes me. But then I started thinking about the Black Panther trailer. I started thinking about the Wonder Woman movie and all the excitement around there. I started thinking about Kathy Griffin. Is there too much pressure on commercial art is my question. Is there too much pressure for it to just be like just a bit of fun? You know what I mean? And before we go, I want to throw, Becca has some tweets some headlines about this.
Yeah, just kind of to exemplify how bananas this has been. Just like headline after headline of like, weird stuff happening. Like,
this is about the Wonder Woman movie.
Finally, a DC movie that works. It's the most satisfying DC movie you've been waiting for. It has radically changed children's lives. It's a badass breath of fresh air. But then there's like so much more going on too. Like, is it too sexy? Gal Gadot training for Wonder Woman is harder than training for the Israeli army. And like Wonder Woman's support for Israel's war on Gaza makes her a hypocrite. Like, just all people want everything from this one movie. And then Black Panther was kind of the same thing.
Melanin Madness. Black Panther trailer drops and folks lose their mind. Month before its release, Black Panther already inspires Atlantans?
Yeah, I don't... Okay.
Is that people from Atlantis or people from Atlanta?
I don't know, but they're so inspired by this trailer. And then, yeah, Black Panther seems to be diversely epic and will fare better than Captain America. Like, why are people saying this? I don't know. Like, we're just, like, putting everything on it. And then, yeah, Maya found this one, too.
That's what I'm wearing to the Black Panther.
So it's a tweet from Joffer. What are y'all wearing to go see the Black Panther movie? Me. And it's a picture of James Earl Jones from Coming to America. With the lion pelt over
King,
his side.
King Joffrey Joffer.
King Joffrey yeah. Joffer, yeah. Yes. So, I mean, I saw that with the Wonder Woman thing. Like, it was like, there's some aspect of the internet that's like, yay, finally a movie that's directed by a woman that stars this powerful woman character. And then some aspect of the internet that's like, she's Israeli and that she shouldn't be in the thing. And then meanwhile, Ben Affleck is just bombing his face off every superhero movie and nobody stops him. So is there too much pressure on commercial art?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that I see with the Wonder Woman movie, the part of the tension that I see is it's like, literally the Wonder Woman movie has like the hopes and dreams of America's women on its shoulders, right? Like, this is the movie that's going to show up after we've been robbed, you know, for decades of having superheroes.
I thought you meant literally we get robbed and the movie shows
exactly.
up.
Exactly. I know. I'm a heist writer. Somebody's always getting robbed. But, yeah, you know, and so what I see a lot of is the tension for progressive women and feminists between like our desperation to see like really badass women in the center with this iconic movie and then, you know, problematic politics. Like, and I have to say, I haven't seen the movie. I'm just listening to the conversation of people like, hey, how come the black woman on Paradise Island was the nanny? And hey, how come, you know, there are all these how comes, right? And then we have kind of Gal Gadot and her, you know, kind of rah-rahness for the IDF. And so I think that there's this tension between kind of the hearts and minds of many women, right? Like in our heart, we want to have this experience, but you know, the movie was written by a dude who has a history of sexism, and even though it's got a woman director. So what I really see is like basically a lot of folks feeling torn, you know, headlines to boycott or not to boycott. I'm not officially boycotting. I'm just like a mom trying to write too many books. I don't get to the movies that much. But I see that hunger, and I see these different feminists talking about how they were just laid out crying, you know, watching the movie, just seeing women on screen in a way we haven't seen women before. And so I'm just curious about that tension. I find that tension really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Mallory, what do you think? You have your ear to the ground of pop culture.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're talking to somebody who mostly lives in the Bay Area because someday this is where they're going to build Starfleet, so, like, I get...
Speculative journalism, Sam. Right.
Well, I think the most unrealistic thing about the Star Trek movies is like the giant towers in San Francisco and Marin. Like somehow that seems further away than like teleporters. But I digress.
Yeah, no. So just I definitely don't think it's anything new that people care a lot about pop culture. Like people used to like take a boat from Japan to Prince Edward Island just to hang out with Lucy Maud Montgomery because she wrote Anne of Green Gables, and she was like, "That's weird for me." So like. It's not new that we're kind of obsessive about what does this mean and what does the person behind it want to do. And I think, sure, you can get too caught up in the sort of minutia of the personal ideology of everybody who acts in a movie that you enjoy. But I think the basic idea of caring a lot about art and entertainment and caring a lot about the people who make it and what they think about the world, as long as you're not doing it like to the exclusion of all else, like that makes sense to me. I care a lot about pop culture and what that means and thinking about it. And I think a lot of those things are ideas worth engaging in. And also now I have She's Your Queen to Be stuck in my head, and that's a good thing.
She's your queen to be. Okay, I got it. All right. And I hear what everybody's saying. Sam, do you have other than your no earlier?
Well, I mean, I did just see it last night, and I'm still kind of processing it.
But isn't that kind of crazy, like, processing a superhero movie?
No, but superhero movies are like our, you know, mythologies are our sort of like, you know, like there's like we have some kind of ownership of them. It's weird because I grew up reading comic books and like I feel like I have this appreciation and ownership of them, but like also they're super corporate properties. And so it's like I don't really have a lot of high expectations that DC Comics and Warner Brothers really care about much else than making money, right? And so, yeah, I mean, I think that like this is, I mean, I don't know if this is, we've learned anything from, you know, the events of 2016. It's that like, political pressure matters, and that like, yeah, sure, let's hold DC and Warner Brothers up to a higher standard because everyone has to be at a higher standard now. And you know, it's cool to see, you know, Gal Gadot bench press a tank, but like surely there is more to a feminist film than that.
Yes. I feel like it's not a good look to leave the last note about Wonder Woman to the guy. So,
take it, yeah.
Specifically the white dude. I was just gonna be like, even I should stop talking. Well,
I'll just jump in about Black Panther. I have to say, so I'm married to a West Indian geek, and so I know, ow. And so he and I, but you know, he and I can almost never see movies together. So I like admonished him. I was like, you are not going to see Black Panther with your geek friends without me. So for me, it's very sweet because this is like a romantic movie. It's geeky, but it's political. So it's like, aw. So we'll leave it there.
So the message is, go see Black Panther when it comes out. As if we thought the message would change anything from that. All right, well, thanks. That's all the time we have for our panel right now. Thanks to the social media desk. Thanks to our guests, Valerie Ortberg, Sam Greenspan, and Aya De Leon. If you want to hear more from them, subscribe to our podcast to hear them on the after party. They'll be back in the after party in a few minutes. Now it's time for a little more music. Give it up for Antique Naked Soul. Seek Naked Soul! Yes. Now, usually at this point, if you've been paying attention to Kamau right now, we have a segment called The Awkward Talk. But since in 2017, the entire world is filled with awkwardness, we've decided to pivot into something new. So get ready for my new favorite part of the show.
Oh.
Yeah.
We get ready?
Ain't we lucky we got them? Come on!
It's an awesome talk with W. Kamau Bell.
Yeah! Can't be mad at a good times reference. Hey, can't be mad at thinking about Wilona. Hey, everybody. And Penny. This is the part of the show where I've stumbled onto... This is the part of the show where I bring somebody on that I've learned about recently that I want to share with you. Somebody who's done something awesome. Our next guest is a journalist and educator from Oakland. His work focuses on the arts, sports, culture, and politics. He has just spent the last 5 years gleaning wisdom through having conversations with older black men in the community. These conversations and photos can be found in his astonishing new self-published book that is also available for sale tonight. Is that true? Yes, yes. Clean them out over there. His new book called OG Told Me. Please welcome Pendarvis Harshaw. Nice to meet you. Please, sit down. Make yourself comfortable right here, right here.
Right next to you. All right.
Right next to me, yeah, yeah.
Don't even get the little barrier, no?
No, no, we're not doing that. Okay. It's black men showing love to each other.
I appreciate that.
That's what your book is about, right?
Yes, it is.
So I just described it, but please describe it in the way that you want it to be described.
When I was a kid growing up in East Oakland, I would go out and do dumb stuff, and then some older guy would come around and say, "Stop doing dumb stuff."
So the original title for the book was Stop Doing Dumb Stuff.
Stop Doing Dumb Stuff, but I thought that wouldn't sell, especially, you know, like, I'm going for the educational aspect. And like, let's highlight the good. Let's be positive-minded.
So you spent 5 years asking older black men, and is that just in Oakland for their wisdom or all over?
Yes, I stepped outside of Oakland for two interviews, one in Detroit and one in D.C., but for the most part, all Oakland.
So, and it's also, there's photos of these men, too.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask the question that I think I have the answer to, because I don't know if you know this, but I'm also a black man.
Okay.
And I'm slowly moving into older. So I'm half filled with a little bit of wisdom. So I'm not really, I'm not filled with wisdom yet. But why is it important to hear the wisdom of older black men?
Oh, it's important because on many different levels it's important. I think the first and foremost one is if you talk about the significance of somebody's life, then you have to talk about the significance of their philosophy as well and what they're living for. And so you sit down and you talk to these older black men, you ask them, if you had a chance to impart some wisdom on some young people based on your life experience, what would you tell them? And they open up to you and they tell you all types of things. And I've heard points about God, about school, about staying out of jail, about this one guy was like, youngster, how old are you? And I was like, 26 at the time. He's like, man, I got milk in my refrigerator older than you.
But he also learned about refrigeration.
Yes. It's the witticisms. It's the things like that you need to hear.
So is there any really good advice you got? Like, I'm sure you got some, but what's your favorite things you heard other than the refrigerator advice?
Bill Russell. Familiar with Bill Russell? Anybody out there? I was a former teacher at McClimmons High School in West Oakland. At one point, I pointed up to him because I worked with that gentleman upstairs.
Some OGs in the house. Give it up for the OGs in the house, everybody.
Oh. He got the hat for it.
Yeah. That's an OG hat. You got to be an OG.
But one day I'm on campus and legendary Bill Russell, 11-time NBA champion, presidential medal honoree is on campus. And he comes up to me and I'm like, Mr. Russell, how are you doing today? Very respectfully. And Mr. Russell's like, did you catch him? And I was like, catch who? He's like, the guy who stole your razor as he was cracking a joke about my beard. The radio people can't see that I have a beard, but you get the point. Like, yeah. And so, but to see somebody of that status, to be able to crack a joke with a young person, to thaw the ice to somebody, I'm coming up to him and being almost disingenuous with the amount of respect. Like, oh my God, it's Bill Russell. He's like, man, I'm a regular person. I crack jokes too. Yeah. And so that isn't what he said verbatim, but that's what his action showed.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you know, obviously we know, we live in Oakland, both black men. We know that a lot of times older black men and younger black men are demonized. So is there something about this where you wanted to sort of rescue the narrative from that?
Oh, very much so. There's this bottom right corner here. This gentleman.
We have some pictures on the screen for those of you listening on the radio who didn't show up
to the show. Right, there's a gentleman in a pink hat, pink suit, fly as ever. I go up to him in the middle of downtown Oakland, in the middle of Frank Ogawa Plaza, and I ask him, same question I ask everybody. And this dude looking like something out of a blaxploitation film opens up to me and says, "You have to find your father. It's not always on the parents to find you." And he told me about his story of coming up from the South to find his family and be with them. And so that doorway opening, and you see somebody's humanity, and you see somebody beyond the pink hat, and I believe he had pink gaiters as well.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
I'm just going to put that there.
Exactly. Town business, is that what you said?
Town business.
So did anybody ever, was anybody reluctant? I mean, if you walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, tell me your story," I would imagine that sometimes it didn't go the way you wanted it to.
Of course. 9 times out of 10, I'd be riding around the town on my bike, camera across my back, and I'd pull up on some older guy, and I'd say, "Hey, nice hat. Can I interview you?" And some of these gentlemen had never been on the internet before. And so they're like, "I don't want you taking a random picture of me, and Lord knows where it's going to go." And that phobia, that generation that I interviewed is, for a large part, haven't been documented outside of institutions. And I'm talking about schools, prisons, and the military or armed services.
Yeah.
And so there has been hesitation. There was hesitation. And sometimes I got through it and sometimes I didn't.
What do you mean sometimes you didn't?
Sometimes people really just decline having a photo or an interview.
Okay.
There was this one guy I interviewed, but he said, "Don't quote me, like my name, or don't take my photo, but I'll give you this." He said, "We're not getting older, we're getting better."
Okay, all right.
So I take that with me everywhere I go.
So what has been the response to the book?
The book response has been crazy. So the book itself is a compilation of essays about my coming of age experience in Oakland, doing what I explained to you all earlier about going out and doing dumb things, and some, you know, and some older person telling me stop doing dumb things. And
that's got to be the sequel.
It's got to be like... stop doing dumb things. No, it's actually the dumb things that I did do.
Yes, there you go. Dumb things I did. Yes.
But all types of great response. I mean, obviously the media response has been great. LA Times, Fader, KML. KPFA here now, right now. This is great. And then the in the streets response. Literally just now, I pulled up and there were a group of people out front celebrating the Warriors' victory. And it looked like two different seas because you had the audience that was coming to see your show. And
what you trying to say? What you trying to say about?
Hey, I'm just keeping it real.
As a white leader here went woo.
And then I saw some of my homies from middle school out front. And they were like, "Hey, man, you wrote a book, and it's flying. Like, congratulations." And seeing that respect and that, like, I mean, some of them have read it, some of them haven't. But them seeing about it on social media and telling me in person, they haven't, you know, sent a tweet or a Facebook message. No, they wanted to see me in person and tell me congratulations. And so that's what I really take with me.
I mean, I do think that, yes, give it up.
Thank you.
And from the hat, it looks like there are some OGs in the audience, right?
There are some. I planted them.
Oh, can you tell us who's here?
I have a gentleman by the name of Watani Steiner. Watani Steiner's story is great. It's only exceeded by his spirit about his story. Watani, in short, he escaped San Quentin and lived in exile for a number of years and then fathered a number of children and decided to turn himself into San Quentin so that his kids could have a better future in America.
Wow. Nobody knows what to do with that whole story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you right here, sir?
Yes, sir.
Stand up, sir. Let people see you. Well, you're doing the big work. And right now in the 21st century, in 2017, we need the big work done. And I just feel like just the fact that you, like you said, that you did this book, that it's a physical thing that people can see, it's inspiring.
Thank you.
And I think that the this book needs to be on the coffee table of everybody in the Bay Area to remind them about what the Bay Area is all about. So yeah. Thank you, Pendarvis. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Pendarvis Harshaw, everybody.
Thank you.
I have
Wait, I have something for you.
You have something for me?
I have a t-shirt that reads, Keep Oakland Creative.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So tell... This is me.
Is that
check
your size?
Let me check the size. Large, Negro, you crazy? This is for my six-year-old. but I want to show... tell us about this. What does this mean?
Keep Oakland Creative. It's an initiative to get more funding for the arts in Oakland as a...
And Maya, you have some knowledge about Keep Oakland Creative, right?
Yeah, I did want to talk about it a bit. They have an initiative right now to request $1.33 million worth of funding from the Oakland City Council. There's a meeting on Monday night. So look up this hashtag. There's a ton of info. And at Keep Oakland Creative is the Twitter account. And look at the Keep Oakland Creative hashtag and get involved. It's about arts and funding right here in Oakland, which is much needed.
And $1.3 million is not a lot of money. Let's be clear, in the Bay Area, that's a studio apartment in San Francisco. Give it up for Pendarvis, everybody. Pendarvis Harshaw. Thank you, Maya. And since this has come out right now, let's check in with the people here at the New Parish. We're doing things differently in this era of America. And in addition to finding out what the people in this room think, we want to find out what you need and want, if there's anything we can actually help you with immediately or in the next few days or so. So give it up for our audience emissary, Jeremy Dalmas, who's going to help us out with that. Jeremy.
Hi, everyone else. There's a lot of different needs that people have. I thought we'd start it something hopefully simple and yes, then maybe make it more complicated. And so, sorry if I'm butchering this name, Shireen Raza in SF says that Shireen needs a tampon. Help a girl out, because it's on the way and I'm surrounded by pheromones.
Wait, so you have a tampon? You have a tampon, okay.
I have a tampon.
Wait, who needs the tampon? Okay, we have it over here. Okay. This is amazing. Oh, wait, let me escort you. I feel like... That's all right. You step on any man you want to while you get this woman. And there's a hug. Thank you. You're doing the Lord's work. You're doing the Mother Earth's work. Wow. Wow. You're doing the real Wonder Woman. Hashtag the real Wonder Woman. There we go. My Wonder Woman. Okay, that was amazing. Jeremy, what else do we got?
Okay, let's see. Cammie, I think it says, in San Francisco, needs an audiobook recommendation for summer road trips. I thought people would have good audiobooks and good books.
So who needs the audiobook recommendation?
Yeah.
Over here, you need the... Oh, no, no.
Oh, you have one, though.
Who needs the audiobook recommendation? Do you want to... Over there. Oh, okay. All the way over there. All the way over there. Where I'm coming over there. Need a good... So, summer... Oops, sorry. Did I step on somebody? Yes.
I already read your book, Kamau, so...
All right.
I need more.
Well, then let's move on. Okay. There's a really good Audible book.
It was great.
Thank you so much. Thank you. But let's move on. So you're looking... What kind of books are you interested in other than books about semi-prominent Negroes?
I just read Roxane Gay's new book, Hunger. That was great. But something hopefully less depressing than that, because we're going on a road.
Okay, so not so woke. Maybe a little...
Sure.
I
liked the sexy beach read vibe that we were going for earlier.
Wait, is Aya, is your book an audiobook, Aya? Oh, she's not out here right now. All right. I'll record myself reading that book, and you can have that. No. So who has an audiobook recommendation? You have an audiobook recommendation.
Well, I don't know if this is up your alley, but Neil Gaiman's Norse Mythology. Okay. It's really well read. It's read by the author. It's great.
Okay.
Okay, Neil Gaiman, anybody else got an audiobook recommendation?
I have confirmed that Aya's books are on Audible, so there are audiobook versions
of it. All right, well, then we wrapped it up. You got white guy and black woman. So there you go. That covers the full spectrum of audiobooks. Thank you very much. Give it up, everybody. What else we got, Jeremy?
Okay, this is a little more complicated, but maybe there's some sort of home remedies or maybe a doctor in the room that can help out. All this person's probably been to a doctor.
Somebody, can you check out this? Okay.
Alexandra in Berkeley says that Alexandra's looking for a month or even a week without a migraine.
Oh, wait a minute. In this room, there's got to be some Berkeley homeopathic yoga instructors.
That's what I was hoping.
So who needs the week without a migraine? Who has the migraine? Over here. Okay, okay. Jeremy, you see over here? We got the migraine.
Hey, okay, so what you need to do is you need to draw a nice hot bath with about 3 cups of magnesium sulfate, which is Epsom salts, and soak in that with your earphones on and just mellow out. The magnesium sulfate will help you with just about anything that you need because we are all low in magnesium sulfate. Take yourself a hot bath.
All right, all right. I'm going to talk to the woman who's, let's see, have you tried the magnesium sulfate before?
Probably.
Your migraine is so bad, I don't remember what I did, sir.
So many things. I've tried.
Okay, so you've tried so many. What have you tried?
Oh, you don't want me to, you don't want the list.
Okay, all right. I guess I won't get the list. Yes. I'm just trying to help you out.
Okay, my most recent thing was Botox.
Botox? You did shots of Botox in your skull to try to get rid of a migraine. That's a needle in your head where it hurts. Seems like not a good idea. So wait, somebody over here is raising their hand. Jeremy, can you go over there? Marijuana. Okay, yes. 90% of the room is screaming marijuana. Have you tried marijuana?
There's a lot but try DMT.
Okay, hold on. DMT. It's like Thunderdome in here. People get excited. I have the homeopathic solution. Okay, everybody, just take a breath. Calm down. Loud noises will not help her migraines. Let's all be chill. So you have not tried marijuana?
No, not recently.
Okay. Well, I would start every problem solution with marijuana. But let's.
We have. So, okay. There's one over here that's maybe a little stronger than marijuana.
DMT.
What?
Dimethyltryptamine. If you can find it, it actually will stop a migraine.
That's an illegal drug, right?
Very illegal. But it works. I've seen it work. I also do medicine, but I'm not going to talk about that. But DMT.
It just got really, really real. We're not going to ask your name. And also, take the mic away from her face. Just, I'm going to ask you a question. You let me know. Would you know where she could get DMT? Don't say it out loud. Just, you're saying, I don't want to be involved. That's what that was. Okay, so apparently she knows a hookup in the room somewhere. So DMT. So we have maybe take a salt bath, high on marijuana, and meet somebody here who's got the hookup. Masturbation. All right. Well, I assumed when you said hot bath that masturbation was coming next. I have a wife. All right. So I know what going to take a hot bath means. I understood. Man, that bath took forever. You must have been really dirty. I was. Too much information. All right. We got time for one more, then we'll end the show, then we'll come back for the after party. What do we got, Jeremy? There's one under the chair.
Over here, come on. There's another. Turn around. Keep on turning. Look up. In the back.
This is the best radio we've ever done. Okay, so there's one right here. So I'm supposed to, okay. This person needs, what do you need in your life? Somebody needs a 7th grade math teacher? Is that what I'm supposed to be reading right now, Jeremy?
No, I had another migraine cure.
Oh,
here.
Okay.
But you keep on not looking at me. But let me just have them talk.
Thank you.
So I was first going to suggest several different prescription drugs for migraines that I have on me, but you've probably tried them all, so my second recommendation would be to severely injure a different part of your body and you forget about the migraine.
I think I'm gonna go with masturbation, personally.
This is the girl in the wheelchair. Thank you.
All right, do we have time for one more card, is what I'm saying? A different. I think we've covered all we can with... Okay, do you have time for one more card?
I have one more card, and this is from Francesca in SF, who I believe might be on one of our future shows. And Francesca says, self-defense training or guns?
What? Oh, the question is, should I do self-defense training or guns? Is that which one should you do? Okay, so wait, Jeremy's right behind you now. So
Girls up. Does both.
Oh, hi, yeah, hi. Yes.
So okay. Francesca, what is your need?
Self-defense training, never taken a class before, or just a gun?
Whew. All right, so we're going
like, to... No training on the gun.
Okay, so we're going to have to do this. We're going to have to crowdsource this answer because we're coming up against the end of the show.
Girl,
so
we will teach you how to do both.
Okay, so Becca said she will teach you how to do both. But just to get the sense of the crowd, who votes self-defense training? All right. Who votes gun? So Wonder Woman, who also had the tampon, thinks you should get a gun, probably knows where you can get one hookup. I just forget that impression. She gave us a Black Power thumbs up. Thank you for listening. Come out right now! Thank you, Jeremy, and thanks to everyone here at the New Parish. That's our show. I want to thank our wonderful guests once again, Mallory Ortberg, Sam Greenspan, Aya De Leon, and Pindarvis Harsha. Thank you to the New Parish and Whole Foods Market. The Come Out Right Now team is James Rollins, Dan Brandon, Maya Janelle, Jeremy Dalmas, Becca Hoekstra, Phil Circus, Max Jacobs, and Matt Martin.